This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station. Here's WSMI's Angela Besh.
Thank you. To sell or not to sell? It's the conundrum facing wheat farmers as prices have plummeted late in 2013. Luis Gartner with Spectrum Commodities reflects on the infrastructure issues challenging wheat.
We've struggled to compete late in the year as far as exports go, largely because of port congestion. The basis levels at the ports have been very high because the capacity has generally been focused on first soybeans and then corn. Huge crops, of course, and row crops. And the trade has used up much of the transportation capacity, the rail, cars, barges, export facilities, moving corn and soybeans. That should be clearing out, especially with this issue going on with China with the corn GMOs. We're probably just going to be shipping less corn to China. So that clears out some of the capacity.
Add on to that liquidation across the commodity space from hedge funds to index funds and a huge world wheat crop, and it's easy to see all that has contributed to the drop. But what about 2014?
Quite often you get a lot of selling right after the first of the year, and that's obviously for tax reasons. So the first couple weeks usually are weaker in the wheat market for that reason. And then you tend to get the market rallies into late January, early February. And then you get that February break in mid to late February. So I would look for late Jan, early February, for the market to be carving out some kind of a high. And then you start to pull back into mid-February. And then you're in your growing season. And then it's just a whole other ballgame.
Again, that was Luis Gartner with Spectrum Commodities. Many people have been worked up about the renewable fuel standards that the EPA is working on. I spoke with Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions about how he sees the RFS playing out in 2014 and what some important things are to remember about it.
Yeah, in the first part of 2014, I don't expect it to have much impact other than psychologically impacting prices as money managers, many of them see it as a cap on ethanol production rather than a reduction of the minimum. Because demand is good, export demand is good, and the profit margins are good for ethanol, so we're continuing to produce. I think as we get into the second or third quarter of 2014, we'll start to see those profit margins start to wane. We're already seeing them drop unexpectedly now because of China rejecting cargoes of DDGs, and that is causing $30, $40, $50 per ton drops in DDG prices here in the United States. And so that's impacting those profit margins. But we can still profitably make ethanol, mandate or not. I think it becomes more of a problem as we get into the last half of this year. We're going to have to see that overseas demand, crude oil prices stay high enough and overseas demand for ethanol stay high enough so that we can keep sending those excess gallons of ethanol overseas.
And that is an important thing to keep in mind, that this is not a cap. It is a minimum limit that is not rising.
Yeah, and there's a lot of fund managers who still do not understand that, and that's why we're seeing some of the depression in prices. This goes into another big decision I think we'll see play out over the next few weeks. We've seen money managers on Wall Street take a lot of money out of the commodity sector over the past year to year and a half and put it into the equity markets. Now, whether the equity markets continue to do well or not in 2014 is still up for debate, but there are many money managers on Wall Street and in New York who are starting to look at the value of commodity sector as a whole, believing it to be undervalued and believing it's time to start shifting money back into the commodity sector. There's still a lot of debate about whether that's going to happen, but I think over the next several weeks we will start to see whether we see a big shift in money back into the commodity sector, and a rising tide lifts all boats, so that would tend to have some impact on the grain and oilseed markets as well.
All right, so that'll be another thing to watch out for. Again, that was Arlen Suderman with Water Street Solutions. That's all for part one of this afternoon's Farm Show. Stay tuned for part two, coming up after this.
Long-term care can often mean long-term debt, but when you add the long-term care benefit option to a new whole life policy from Country Financial, you can withdraw the policy's death benefit while you're living to help pay nursing home or other qualified care expenses. Ask me, Wayne Schaefer, about our long-term care policies that offer even more protection. To find out more about long-term care coverage, contact me, Wayne Schaefer, your Country agent in Jerseyville. Give us a call at 498-5800.
Hi, I'm Kristen Treese with M&M Service Company. Up until recently, the words convenient and financing didn't mix, but the FS AgriFinance program has changed that. FS AgriFinance enables you to secure financing through M&M Service Company for all your farming input needs. So not only do you save time, but your production needs and financial plans are all handled by people who understand your business the way you do. Ask about FS AgriFinance from M&M Service Company today. It's custom financing at your convenience.
Extra pounds aren't healthy, so slim down for the spring by counting calories and fat grams right now. Eat balanced meals in moderation with plenty of farmer-owned Prairie Farms low-fat and non-fat dairy products like non-fat cottage cheese and non-fat sour cream, as well as skim 0.5% and 1% milk. Plan your snacks by including Prairie Farms low-fat yogurt. And for extra vitamin C while losing weight, remember 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms, farmer-owned.
If fuel prices are costing you a small fortune, Area Diesel Service can help with 5 new Agricultural Diesel Solutions modules. Now over 400 applications can get up to 35% more horsepower. And these performance modules aren't just for combines, there are modules for light and medium duty trucks. Truck Edition modules will give your Powerstroke, Cummins, Duramax, Dodge, Caterpillar, and International pickups and work trucks increased horsepower and up to 3 more miles per gallon. Call 800-637-2658 or go to areadieselstore.com for more details.
With the new year, many people are reminiscing on large ag events of 2013, including the October blizzard that affected many cattle growers in South Dakota. As snows and frigid weather cover our listening area and farmers pull on more layers and prepare to go shovel snow out of their feeders or bring their animals inside, it's important to keep fellow farmers in mind who were affected by the storm. Since the blizzard, cattlemen and others in the agriculture community have reached out to fellow ranchers in South Dakota and other portions of North Central U.S. Cindy Campbell reports.
Hugh Ingalls of Centennial Angus in Faith, South Dakota, experienced firsthand some of the storm's monumental losses and the kindness of the agriculture community.
We've lost cattle to weather before, but not to this extent. There'll be a catastrophe come along. Every once in a while, cattle will go through the ice. Or we've been fortunate not to have disease, but I'm concerned about the younger ranchers is trying to buy a place and get a bunch of cattle put together. And I'm pleased to see a lot of local effort, different organizations raising funds to tide them over till they can get so they can stay on their feet.
Ingalls lost nearly 200 head from his herd, yet remains optimistic about the strength of his friends and neighbors.
There's a group in Montana. He's been taking donations for heifers from neighboring states, and I know for a fact they delivered 400 head to western South Dakota last week, and they've got more to bring. That's encouraging. And they have the Ranchers Relief Fund that they've been holding rollover auctions at all the auction barns and raising money, and there's no way they can take care of all of the loss monetarily, but if it can just keep them going till give them the courage and the fortitude to go on.
To hear more of Ingalls' story, plan to watch the documentary series I Am Angus next Monday, December 30th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on RFD-TV. For more information, visit angus.org. I'm Cindy Campbell.
Even though it's cold out and there's snow on the ground, there is one livestock animal you may still see outdoors, bison. Terry Lieb of Lieb Farms in Monticello has about 40 head of bison and says these animals are hardy enough to survive the elements even when the weather looks rough.
I used to have a barn for them and they never would go in it, so all they would do is rub against it and tear it up. So I took it down and they're such a hardy animal that heat or cold doesn't really bother them at all.
Like cattle, there are different breeds of bison. Lieb said both have the same capability of handling harsh environments, but went into some of the differences you could notice between them.
There's two different kinds, a wood bison and a plain bison. They look pretty similar. The wood bison may be a little darker and a little bit taller. They all evolved. It just in what part of the country they evolved in at one time. They went all the way from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean, and the ones east of the Mississippi were more of a wood bison. The plains bison were out in the Great Plains, and well, some of them were in Illinois in the prairies. I think the last one was killed in the 1700s in Illinois, and then in Europe there's what they call Wisnet bison. It's a smaller one, but yeah, there's different kinds.
And are there any herds that left that are still pure, or are they all kind of a mix now after having to save them?
But there is a few. You can have them DNA tested, and there is genetically pure bison still around. The herd in Yellowstone is one, and there's another one somewhere. But a lot of people have them DNA tested, and they breed for pure bison.
So pure bison is kind of catching on and becoming a thing, purebred varieties?
Yeah, I mean, more and more people, we're trying to get back to the roots of it, you know. It's coming back. It's coming back.
Again, that was Terry Lieb, bison grower from Monticello. Lieb is eagerly awaiting the start of the Illinois-Indiana Bison Association. There is a well-established national association, but an Illinois one has yet to be formed. They're hoping to get the state association started up early this year and perhaps have their first meeting this month. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.